If you have not become a patron of the Geocache Talk Network, what are you waiting for? Patron levels start as low as a bison tube level at $3 a month. To sign up is easy. Simply go to the Geocache Talk website and click on the Become a Patron button or go to patreon.com/geocachetalk. Patrons now get the famous blackout coin, invites to special events, and other really great items throughout the year. Become a patron today. Have you subscribed to FTF Magazine yet? FTF Magazine is the number one geocaching magazine available. It is a quarterly magazine that you can be part of. Submit your geocaching milestones and adventures to be published. FTF Magazine is also interactive with puzzles to solve and the hunt to find Spartacus. If you can solve the puzzle or find Spartacus, then you will be entered in to win a special pack tag. Every new subscription, you will receive a special swag pack. Subscribing is easy. Just visit FTF's website, ftfgeo.com. Don't miss out and subscribe today.
Logwork, the creators of the fantastic logbook, made with genuine right-in-the-rain paper, the logbook's designed for the micro-containers of the present and future, geared towards the hider who'd rather go caching than doing cache maintenance. Find them at logwork.com, that's logwerk.com.
Hello, and welcome to Challenge Talk, part of the Geocache Talk Network. You can watch the show live on the second Tuesday of each month. Feel free to jump over to YouTube, Facebook, or X to watch the broadcast live and join the wonderful and active chat room, or listen to the entire show later on your favorite podcast player.
So tonight, we're going to talk about what happened in Texas. And also, there was that special day. We got an extra day to geocache this year. So we're going to talk about adventures on Leap Day and also some adventures on the Longhorn Challenge Trail.
Yes, and we also have prizes to give away each show to our listeners. Between each show, be sure to email your challenge cache finds to challengetalkpodcast@gmail.com, and you could be a winner.
Later on in the show, we're going to also play our special game exclusively for the live audience, the Wheel of Challenges. So listen live, get your email app ready, and follow instructions when the time comes so you can have a chance at winning tonight's grand prize.
And at the end of the show, we'll highlight some of the challenge caches you found, and someone will win our coveted monthly giveaway. So hello, Tim. How you doing?
Hi. Great. Welcome back. You missed
Thank
a month.
Thank you. I cannot believe I had to miss a show. I was in the hospital for last month's show.
Hospital.
Not conducive to live broadcasting. I really missed it. But I am very, very grateful for good medical care, quick healing. I even got to participate in my planned Leap Day activities. So I went over to Roseburg, Oregon, completed the Leap Day Icon Coin Challenge, earned my Leap Day coin. I've talked before about coin challenges that we have here in Oregon, and we had Socks and Amanda on talking about getting sponsorships for those coins. I thought this year's coin was really cool. It will be hard to tell, but this is a 3D printed coin with stickers on both sides. So really simple. We still all wanted to earn it. It's got its tracking code. What a great cost-effective way to produce a prize. So pretty cool there. And I earned 15 Leap Day add-ons for my badge gen badges. So many little words there to get right.
Yeah, it is a lot.
And a lot of
our
listeners.
If you have no idea what she's talking about, go back to last month when John
last
and I
month's
were
show that I wasn't on. That. Yes, thank you, John, for covering for me. I wish I had been able to be on a show with you, but maybe in the future we can do that. So yeah, a lot of you were earning your Leap Day add-ons as well, and I'm very glad that I got to be well enough to do that.
Yeah, and that was important based on what I knew you were having trouble with before the show.
I literally had surgery 2 weeks before Leap Day. So amazing to be able to heal that quickly.
Yeah, modern medicine.
I know, amazing.
It was.
And how about you?
Well, I've got a couple things coming up. I mean, You know, I saw in the chat room, Seebeck Tribe says, you know, what happens in Texas stays in Texas. And yeah, we won't talk about the chicken ranch when, you know, one of the places I visited. But we can talk about the fact that I did geo tours and geo trails. I got 198 smileys while I was down there. I signed 173 challenges.
Ah,
I attended 8 events. And probably the most special event for me was I got to meet Flowers 22. Oh, pardon me. And if you don't know the story, last year for Cash Fest, I had put out a request. I was happy to share a room with someone, and a gentleman by the name of Blazon responded and said he would like to. So we talked before to make sure, you know, neither one of us were serial killers. And ultimately, on my way back from Memphis, I got an email from Flowers 22 asking, have you seen my brother? And unfortunately, the tale is sad that he passed away in Louisiana while geocaching. But it was really pretty special because I interacted with her a lot during the Monday when everybody was searching. And I knew that she was going to have some other travels after Texas. And I heard from Emily today that you got a Facebook post, true?
Yeah, I saw that Patty posted, Flowers 22 posted, that she got to meet up with some of the cachers who were quick to jump and help in the search. They helped to locate her brother's car, which narrowed down the search. And so she got to spend time with them going to Louisiana's oldest and finding that special cache with people who helped out back in the summer. So that sounded like a nice experience for them.
Yeah. So it was a lot of fun. So we're going to talk tonight a little bit about those stories, but let's do some news first.
All right.
Let's see what we've got. Where's that?
Ah. Do you got a picture to pull up?
Not yet, because I have CETO Season 1. I didn't put a picture for CETO Season 1.
We don't have a picture of that, but you could go and easily look up the souvenirs, the new geo coins. So, you know, Groundspeak puts out 2 seasons a year for CETO, and we are in Season 1, so it's a great time to host a CETO event and earn those special souvenirs.
And coming up in just 5 days from now is a new souvenir for the March Equinox. So,
and this one I think I can accomplish.
Really?
I felt like the Equinox challenges last year were a little out of my league. But this one's just 3 caches in a week for the third month of the year is why they said they picked 3 caches to achieve. And caches, adventure labs, events, whatever suits you. And so I think I can do that next week.
Cool. And then our third news item is this little event that's going on in Oklahoma in July called Cache Fest. We're going to do a lot more on Cache Fest later on. Probably not tonight's show, but maybe later on in our show schedule. Mm-hmm. But they're doing the vault keys again. And we have the opportunity to release clue number 2 for key 6. And here it is. There's the picture.
When I first saw that, it took me a moment.
I'm not leaving that one up very long because to me, the longer it's up, the easier it gets. So,
okay, there you go.
There it is.
So
I know where that is.
Everyone will have to wait. Yeah, it'll definitely get published on our social media. So there's your hint. Either rewind if you're watching live or stay tuned to the social media.
watch it and freeze it. All right. So let's talk a little bit about challenges for the month. Last month, we surpassed 40,000 active challenges worldwide. And this month, we added another 353 to that number. So we are now at 40,556 challenges worldwide. Mm-hmm. 16,577 in the United States. So there is no reason you can't go find challenges.
I want to go find challenges. I want more.
That's all right. Awesome. And tonight we have a special guest. he's got a really cool caching name. and his real name isn't so bad either, but we want to bring in the Bloody Cool.
All right. Welcome, Nels. Hey,
welcome, Nels.
Thanks for being with us.
And I see that your subhandle is the Tree Climber. And as we get going here, we're gonna bring some pictures up. And for those of you listening, you probably have to go back and watch the show, because here's the first one of Nels that we're going to show. And you can see it's a bright blue, shiny day when we were on the Longhorn Challenge Trail. But I have never seen anyone so fearlessly get so high into a tree in my life. So I think even when I was a kid, I didn't climb that high into a tree. And Nels just goes right up and
fabulous,
grabs them. So we had a blast.
Good. So yeah, we'll get into talking about the adventures you two have shared and can bring to our community. I know people were looking forward to hearing about it. Real quick in the chat, I see Drusilla says, I had two challenge caches go active this week. So thank you. Thanks for adding to the community.
And where were those?
Good question.
Where are those listed?
Drusilla, tell us where you are at or where your challenges are at. Also, we wanted to, you know, like I said, a lot of you, we put out a poll on Facebook. A lot of you were earning your Badge Gen add-ons as well, earning the Leap Day souvenir. Again, Flowers22, we did hear that she qualified for a 29-29 challenge. We'll link that in the show notes. It's defined at least 29 caches on the 29th day of any 1 month. So all within 24 hours or one calendar day, and at least 3 different icons. So she was able to take a special 29th day, find this special 29 caches on it to meet that challenge. So I thought that was cool. I was interested if there was any specific leap day related challenges out there that anyone did. And then also two folks in our chat room, B and J Bish, this is so cool. They hosted a 24-hour leap day event in their home. So it sounded so cool, you guys. It was a come and go anytime throughout the day. They offered up their home and their amenities in their home and their ability to attend an event as it worked in your schedule. So I just thought, what a cool idea. Let's shout that out. We got cool people in our listener group.
Oh, I read it as an event, but I didn't read it as I guess I did read 24-hour event, but I thought it was going caching for 24 hours.
No, it was in their home. They invited people into their home for any time in 24 hours. They were feeding them and chatting with them. And yeah, pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Very, very nice.
Oh, it looks like they say it was a blast. I'm still catching on up on sleep. Haha. We had 40 people come over the course of the day. Very good. Very good. Oh, yes. And also, they offered up a first to find to all who attended. So anyone could take them up on that first to find.
Oh, so that was another add-on badge.
Add-on. I'm curious about that add-on. Yeah, good.
So the 29.
We lost Nels. We might have kicked him out, so we'll watch for him to get back. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Mm.
All right. So, we started the day very early in the morning on Leap Day. I got up at 4 o'clock to attend a 5 a.m. event for coffee, because we wanted to get the diverse cacher day, which required 11 different cache types. And we could get 10 by staying around Round Rock. In order to get the 11th one, there was a CETO event in nearby LaGrange. And if you know Texas, nearby is 60 miles.
That's so nearby.
It was an hour and a half drive down to LaGrange. And I didn't want to do it at 4 a.m. So I met up with a buddy from Idaho named Railroad.
Yeah.
And so he and I met at the event, and I asked him what his plans were for the day, and he didn't have much. He was going to go down to the CETO event, grab that one, and then he had a couple of caches that he wanted to do in Texas or near LaGrange, and then he was going to come back to Round Rock. And I said, oh, that'll be great. We can ride together. And I said, if we get more cashers, we'll take my car, which is bigger. If we have fewer cashers, we'll take your car, which gets better gas mileage. And he was perfectly fine with that. So it ended up being only the two of us. The hour and a half went very, very quickly, as you might imagine when you're talking geocaching in the car. Mm-hmm. We had a great time. We did the CETO. We actually signed two challenges there in the park where the CETO was. No, I'm sorry. We signed one because we DNF'd one.
Oh, bummer.
But everybody wondered what we were looking for on the DNF one, and so we couldn't find it. And then we went back to Round Rock, and we rounded out the rest of our challenge day. So we got the diverse cacher, we got the achievement cacher, we got the traditional where I go, blah, 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 blah. We got a whole bunch of them. And I didn't make note of the ones I had before I started. So I don't know if I got the 15 or not, but we got close. Good. And then earlier in the week, they released a GeoLeap coin challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So it was to find 30, you had to find 25 of 30 caches on the grounds where the event was going to be. And of course, being the geocacher that I am, I couldn't stop at 25. I had to try
of
to get
off. Of course not.
So I ran into another new friend. Here comes Nels. Yay, he's back.
Hopefully.
Welcome back.
We'll see how long you stay. Hopefully you're in. You got storms up there today or over
no,
there?
No, it's just my internet wants to pick the great time to die. So.
Oh, of course, okay. Of course.
Murphy's Law.
Well, we didn't talk about you while you were gone, so you're safe in that regard. and I ran into another new friend, Andy Oki from Tulsa, Oklahoma. So we ran into him at some caches. We shared some notes, and he also had the ladder in his car that we needed to finish off one of the challenges. And then we did the GeoLeap event itself, a mega event on Leap Day. So that was pretty cool.
That is a unique add-on.
Yeah.
That's just, so many of those add-ons were like, I just reasonably cannot. And I think a lot of people were in that position. But if you had the chance to go to this event, a lot of them were within your reach, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, and there was a group that did 400 caches on Leap Day. They did I don't know if it was a power trail or just a driving trail. You weren't one of those, Nils?
No.
No. I was not either. That was not one I was going for. You could do an 81 grid challenge if you did the 400 on that trail, I heard. And there was another one they were going for, or the 108 attributes. They had ensured that the caches they were looking for would have all 108 attributes. So I
wow.
didn't
hear and we've got it. We've got someone from Australia in our chat room tonight.
All right.
BFMC Geocacher says, I jumped from 7 badges to 24. We cached for a touch over 24 hours straight. Main achievement being a full DT loop in one day. 11 types, including webcam. Couldn't get CETO due to the Australia Mega. But wow. Huge.
Right.
Huge.
Congratulations. Yeah. That's incredible. And there was... They interpreted the rules differently than they should have, but there was a buddy cache that was released. There was a buddy cache released in Round Rock, Texas, and a counterpart to it was released in Australia where the mega event was.
Oh,
and
interesting.
So what you need to do is in Texas, we had to go to Ground Zero, find coordinates to the final in Australia. And then we obviously had to pass those along to someone in Australia so that they could mm-hmm. go find the cache. And likewise, they did the same for us. They found the coordinates to the cache. And so you just put a note in the cache page, find your buddy, and you start messaging back and forth to share the event. The way the organizers interpreted it was you would claim the cash in Australia if you found it in Texas.
I couldn't do that. I wouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah. Now, no, and, not and if when I you really been. Dig into the guidelines, that's exactly what it is. You could not, should not claim a cash in a country you have not visited. The point is you claim the cash in Texas that you found for your counterpart in Australia. Mm-hmm. And so we were looking to get the long distance cashier, but unfortunately long distance means I'm going to have to attend the mega in Australia.
In Australia to get that.
So,
yeah. Well, you know what? Some of those add-ons, I was thinking about them, and the ones I couldn't get, that tells a story too, you know? Like I chose the adventure that I wanted to have that day. And I had my physical limitations. There was no five-fiving for me 2 weeks after surgery, you know? So I can look back and remember moments in time from what I did and didn't achieve in a day. So I'm good with it all. Whatever happened, happened.
Oh, and our BFMC geocachers missed the buddy cache. So yeah, it was like 4 a.m. when I was messaging with someone over there. And unfortunately, when I found the Texas cache, it had a different GC code on the picture. And so my buddy in Australia wanted to line it up before he went out. And he said, no, it's not, you know, that's not the right cache. And it turns out that they changed the GC code in Australia for the cache. Coordinates were right. It was just that the cache number was wrong. And so he eventually went out and found it I think he found it on leap day, but I'm not quite certain. I know I found my half on leap day. So that was able to go and get it. So, oh, and cool. BFMC Geocacher says it's only 800 kilometers. You know, that's nothing. I don't know, how many miles is that? We deal in miles. Miles are much shorter than kilometers, I think. Or no, it's the other way around. Kilometers are shorter. So how was your leap day, Nels?
It was great. We, similar to you, were up super early in the morning to get down to that CETO. There's myself and a couple other cachers from up here in Maryland who are down there. And then we went for the 11 icons for the day. So two of us already had a very effective leap day 4 years ago and had a lot of the add-ons, but we didn't have the 11 icons. So that was kind of our goal for the day. And also we wanted to get the all the caches to qualify to be in the drawing for the super cool leap coin there.
Oh, there you
Ooh,
go.
All right. I'm going to make that bigger. Wow. I love it. So I thought I heard something about that. It was a drawing for the coin then.
Yes. It was supposed to be.
They had there was a passport that had 35 marks on it. And you had to find at least 30 of the caches, I believe, and use the punches in the cache to mark the passport. And that got you the ability to turn it in to be in, in the drawing. I think there were less people who were in the drawing than maybe they anticipated. And so I think most of the people who bothered to do it got a coin, but.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So they had 115 coins to give away. And of course, if they had more participants than that, then they would have done a drawing to give out a bunch of them. But as it turned out, there were 112 people that participated in the coin challenge. So when we added up the numbers, we added up the coins that it was easy enough that we laid out all of the passports out on a table and said, find yours, bring it to us, and you get a coin. And everybody that played got a coin. So
very nice. Good.
So that was cool. Well, that was a good day. And then after the leap event, you and I did something extra special. So we drove back from Round Rock up to Dallas, where there is the Longhorn Challenge Trail. And we kicked it off with an event on Saturday. I had 8 or 9 people attend the event. And then the event was for planning purposes, because you can't go geocaching from an event. So we didn't.
Right.
But we planned the route. We talked about places we wanted to go. And then at the end of the event, we said, okay, well, we're going to go for this handful of caches because B.E. Viking had loaned me his ladder. And I knew that we needed a ladder for several caches in this one particular park. So the 9 or 10 of us went out to that park and we walked around and we started the challenge trail. And then Skippy Teddy and Bloody Cool and I went out on Sunday and attempted to kill ourselves.
I'm glad you're here tonight.
So am I. And I mentioned the guys at the time, when I go on a hike, I'm good for about 5 to 8 miles. And we measured this trail at about 9 miles. But we didn't take all the twists and turns in place. Uh-oh. And there was a gap in the place. And your watch said what, Nels? 13?
Yeah, it was 14? At least, my watch said 15, but it probably was about 13. My Apple watches tend to be a bit overestimate. So
generous.
Yes.
Yeah. So
it was a
very long day. We started at 7 o'clock. We got on the trail at 7:30, yeah. And we got off the trail a little after 4. But we did tree climbing. For those listening to the podcast, I'm going to run through some pictures real quick. Obviously, I showed this one before. This is Nels up in a tree. Some of the trees were easy climbing. I think some of them were not so much. Here's another one. This is where you get to find the Where's Waldo. this would make a great jiggity puzzle because you can't see anything here. A cedar tree that Nels is probably 2/3 of the way up in the picture on this one.
Uh-huh.
So we had to do that. Not all the caches were that kind of tree climb. We had this one.
Oh, whoa. A horizontal tree climb.
A horizontal tree climb.
That was the worst.
This one is not fun. And I'm working with my reach.
What made it the worst?
So climbing a tree straight up is much easier because you have the branches and you're just kind of going up. This one, it was too steep to walk up.
Okay.
So I had to grip it with my legs and scoot up and down the bark and avoid branches and awkward.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So it's just, it's much more painful than normal trees.
Interesting. Who would have thought?
Well, yeah. And he could only get up so high. I think the cache is right there. And I don't know if I'm showing it on the screen or not, but up in that first branch. And it was just kind of hung there. So I have a tool that I have to give credit to Taz427. He is part of another podcast. He turned me on to something called an I Gotcha. Try to bring this. I gotta lean back. But it is a telescoping golf ball retriever. Uh-huh. And I put a little wire hook on the end of it. So that I could lift it up and grab it. And I've maybe used it a handful of times here in Michigan, but if it wasn't a tree climb, it was a reach for. There was maybe a half a dozen that we actually found where we didn't have to climb or reach. And so this is where teamwork really goes into play. So this is Skippy Teddy and Nels keeping an eye on him. And here's the I Gotcha, which mine reaches 14 feet in the air. So we can reach maybe 20 feet up into a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one where we almost didn't reach it.
So this just, it's kind of like a grip, like an extended gripper.
Yeah. It kind of does a couple things.
And you can get it off the hook off the branch almost.
Right. You lift the hook up of the branch, and what I'm doing is I'm changing it now, which I should have done before. I put a little wire on it to help me, but it's got a little doohickey that it spins this way. Mm-hmm. And there's a little gap for the spring. So sometimes I can grab that and it extends all the way out and it collapses to about 18 inches. So it fit in my carry-on. TSA didn't have anything bad to say about it. and it came in very, very handy.
Good.
Now, I guess I shouldn't say that when I got this back in 2019, I paid under $12 for it. Looked on Amazon today, and it's going to be in the show notes. It is on sale for $49.99 today.
Oh, inflation.
Inflation at but this
so
is
Tim's highly recommended tool.
Yep. It will now become a permanent part of my events and challenges that I keep with me when I go travel.
Good. Good. Good to learn about a new tool.
Yeah. So it's called an I Gotcha, and that's a brand name for it. It says it's golf's number one ball retrieval, but I think it's also geocaching's number one cache retriever.
We can sure take something and make it work for us, huh? We're good
we
at
try.
That. Yeah.
So then as of Monday, I didn't do much more the rest of the week.
So you guys, that's your death march story, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah, there was one gap in the trail that was probably a mile and a half that we didn't realize that there was parking. You could park along the trail in various points. Well, we parked cars at the end, and then we drove up to the beginning with one car. So ideally, if we'd have paid more attention to the notes, we could have left a car in the middle and jumped around the mile and a half, 2 miles of gap in the trail. But
gotcha.
We didn't. And so we had to suffer through it. So, yeah.
Hopefully. And how many challenges were on that trail? Do you recall?
We got 86 that day.
Awesome.
There's 230 on the Texas Longhorn Challenge. There's like four different groups of caches. And so Saturday, I did some early in the week because I had gotten ahead in my planned route, so I did some of the easier ones early and then waited for the event where we did some that I couldn't climb trees for, whatnot. That's where Nels helped out a lot the first day on Saturday, and then Sunday was his climbing day. He was in heaven with his climbing.
It was
I
awesome.
You know, never seen somebody so eager to say, oh, this one's a tree climb, I got it. And Michael, Skippy, Teddy, and I just said, go for it.
Thank you.
We'll be here to call 911 if you need us. Otherwise, you know, make sure you take a pen and sign our names as well. So
very good. And Tim, do we have that on our challenge trails document?
We do. Yes.
All right. So as a reminder,
so
yeah, on every show note, we have a link at the bottom to our Challenge Trail Master document where you can check out different trails and geo arts of challenges that we know of that we'll just continue to add to as we learn of them.
So have you started to go through the challenge trail, Nels, to know how many you actually qualified for or not?
Not in detail. I think it was about 60% or so, just a rough estimate of looking at the map and the green check marks. But I haven't had time to, I finally managed to log everything else. So I only have the Longhorn trails and challenges, and I'll probably remember some of the sights and special smells that we were blessed with on that trail. It takes you to some unique parts of the Dallas area.
Yeah, it's a very unique challenge. The trail is a challenge, the hike is a challenge, and yes, it There's a wide variety of scenic views, aromatic environments, and at certain times of the year, probably some wading, although it was very dry for us for the most part when we went.
Yeah, except for that, the tower climb or whatever that that we did.
Oh, yeah, I missed. I was
there was a lot of water on,
that. Was there? Okay, but you stayed dry.
Yes, I had waterproof boots on. So,
Did you guys find? Oh, go ahead.
Nope, you first.
Did you find that it was a lot of typical type challenges, or some unique, any unique ones you've not run into before or rarely run into? I know you both are good travelers.
So far, they're all really unique. What I've been able to do so far is to put a spreadsheet together of all of the GC codes with the description, with the status. You know, do we have to climb a tree? Did we sign that particular log? Was it missing when we went? And whether I qualified for the challenge or not. And like one of them is to find a cache in Asia. Well, I haven't been to Asia yet. So, and I really don't have any plans to go to Asia for. There's another one that's the four corners of the United States. So, I technically have three of the four. And if I go to GeoWoodstock, California is on my list to get. A lot of attribute caches. So, abandoned structures, abandoned mines. We went to one telephone, you know, as we were looking for the challenge and we couldn't find it. It's a gated electrical tower. And because it's right on the trail, they've got a fence around it so you can't climb on the tower. Well, we knew the cache was probably on the fence. And as we looked at the attributes, it was an abandoned mine. So we were looking for the entrance to the abandoned mine and didn't find it. So that, you know, there's some of those. Riding horses, riding bicycles, fizzies and fizzy looping, and just finding raw number of caches. You know, I mentioned that I'm going to hit 20,000 finds this week. Woo-hoo-hoo. And finally hit that milestone. And I'm going to use a challenge when I actually get there. I'm about 40 caches short right now, but I'm still going through all of the challenges to log the ones.
You might have a few more. Yeah. Under your belt that you don't know yet. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the challenges is to get 35,000 finds and 45,000 finds. Well, they don't count adventures in that number. And I've got almost 4,000 adventures. So I'm still really short. So there is as wide a variety of terrain and sites along the trail as there is in challenges. So if you're an easy challenger or a beginning challenger, yes, some of them are to find a where I go. You know, play a where I go. Some of them are find a where I go in three countries. I know the one that Nell's got first to find on. We didn't talk about that. So on the trail that I went on earlier in the week, there was a first to find opportunity. And I signed it. And I claimed it. And then
you climbed it?
Huh?
Did you say climbed it?
No, I claimed it.
Oh, claimed it. I thought you were saying you climbed something.
No, I didn't have to climb for this one. It was about But I claimed the find and claimed the first to find. And then when I got to my hotel room that night, sadly, it is to find three caches in three countries above 8,000 feet.
Oh.
I have two. So I had to delete my log.
And Nell's got it?
No first to find for me.
All right. But congrats.
Talking to Nels, he qualified. So we went and visited that after our long day of caching. And then unbeknownst to me, I found a shortcut to the cache. So I thought. Nels is laughing because he knows. What I do, Nels?
Well, so we were much closer physically to the cache location than the parking coordinates would have taken you. You know, it was quite a long park, so the parking coordinates were a pretty good hike from the cache. Well, looking at the map, as we cachers enjoy doing, we found some neighborhood streets that were just a couple hundred feet away from the cache location. So we said, well, you know, it's much quicker to just drive here, park in this neighborhood, and I can just walk in on this nice little trail and get it in a few minutes. So about 15 minutes into my excursion, you know, Tim texts me like, are you okay? What's going on? Well, what we didn't know is that between where we parked and the cache location, there was a 6-foot high fence with barbed wire on the top. And it takes a while to navigate over the top of one of those. Yes, I climbed it twice without injuring myself, other than straining a few muscles, because it's a little dodgy to go over a 6-foot fence that also has barbed wire on the top. It's pretty adventurous, wow. But I do climb things. So it took me much longer than anticipated because I had to navigate across the fence 2 times.
And amazing. I, of course, didn't realize this. I had already been there. I had already signed it. So I'm sitting in the car waiting for him going, it's 200 feet away from the car. What in the world happened? And when I walked the trail the other day, I came from the parking lot in the parking area. And yeah, it was maybe 0.7 miles from the parking area. And after going whatever we did, 13, 15 miles, I mean, neither one of us wanted any more hiking for that day. So when we could get within 200 feet, that was ideal. And then, oh, sorry about that. That didn't show up on the map.
I got to climb more things. So yeah.
Matthew says it sounds like you jailbroke that geocache.
Yep. So at least Nell's got the first to find.
I think so many of us have taken the hard way in, but boy, I'm not sure about that hard. Wow. I would have turned around. I would not have tried that. Wow.
No, I guess when you're accustomed to climbing, what's one more climb? So
right.
You know, so that's 2024 in the books. I can say that I visited with TTO2 at the evening of the mega and said, okay, 2028. Actually, I said 2025. I've got something special I want his help for in Michigan. We're going to try to do a 2025 celebration event here in Michigan. So I want his help to work on that. And then I said, and I will be happy to help you again in 2028 when we do the Giga event. Now, I know we can't talk about Gigas before Gigas happen, and I have no idea where it will be, and I have, other than the United States, somewhere. You know, February 29th is really sketchy weather in all of the nice populated areas, but float that out there, that 2028 we're hoping will be a Giga event so we can get another add-on to our achievements, so... Stay tuned. We have 4 years to plan.
And it looks like a Tuesday. So another unique weekday, big type event to like you guys had this year with Thursday.
Yeah. So we'll see how we do that. So with that, are we ready for
the wheel? We're ready. We are ready for the wheel. So it's time for our Wheel of Challenges game. One live viewer each month will be selected to face off against the wheel to have a chance to win the grand prize, a 1-year membership on Project GC. And we do ask that you limit yourself to 3 wins. So get your email out. And to enter, we need you to send an email with the subject containing Spin Me, followed by your geocaching username in the brackets, and answer the following question. And the first verified user will get to face off against the wheel. And your profile will be checked live on Project GC. And if you qualify, you win. So answer this question. How many add-ons did I achieve on Leap Day?
Ooh,
I might have only said it once or twice. I tried to fit it in there.
You say that a lot. We're going to have to be listening carefully.
Be listening carefully. Yes. So no hints yet. Let's see who we've got responding first. Okay. I don't think we've ever had to give a hint on our questions. We've always had people. B&J Bish says the weather is pretty great for leap day in Florida.
Yes, that would be.
It was
that
not
would
in be Texas. Cool.
No, right. It was actually and very cold.
B&J Bish is our first correct answerer. correct team to answer the question. And it was, I earned 15 add-ons this year.
Very good. All right, so we'll put B&J Bish up against the wheel. Here we go. Round and round it goes. Oh, it's a tough one.
What is it?
Well-rounded Casher, the Fizzy
the
Challenge.
The Fizzy Challenge.
So this is GC11E8N.
Is this that original California one?
This is, yes, it's in California, released 4/6/2007. So the hard part about this one is you have to find the 81 challenges, but they have to be released before 2007. And so my geo checker wasn't set up right today, so I'm going to do that. Well, rounded, use that, and then B&J Bish. And run the checker, and oh no! Our second month in a row. So this requires all types found, Earth Cache, Event Cache, blah, 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 but you have to have the Fizzy Loop before 2007. So they've got 9, 15, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39 of the 81. So I'm sorry, they don't qualify.
They said it's the pre-2007 that did it. That's the hard one. That's the hard one for that challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do have to be very well run. I don't think I qualify yet for that one.
Oh, I'm sure I don't. Yeah.
Yeah. I've looked for Fizzy and I've looped my Fizzy now over 20 times, but not pre-2007 caches.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Something to work towards for all of us, right?
Yeah.
All right.
It's always fun.
Well, we have time for some challenges that you guys have sent in. Every month, we give a congratulatory shout out to listeners who email us proof of qualifying and logging a challenge cache since the last show. Anyone who sends an email to challengetalkpodcast@gmail.com with the GC code having a found it log for that month will be entered to win a giveaway of a Challenge Talk path tag. So here are a few of the interesting challenges we've heard from our listeners. And Bloody Cool, you said you found a few this month? and Tim's going to vouch for you, right?
I'll vouch for it. He didn't send an email in, but I was with him. We did a whole bunch
You
together.
Can vouch. Yeah. Yeah. We got some pictures.
So this is an interesting one. The first one came in from MP Dreyer, and it's GCADD5J. It's a trashier challenge. Now, part of this I get, part of it I don't. The challenge is to find at least 20 or attend at least 20 CETO events. So his assumption here is that the CETO event has to be a trash collection event. And I know that the CETO we did in Round Rock post Mega, we worked at a water park there and we painted and we did landscaping and we helped them out. There was no trash pickup involved whatsoever.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think sometimes I shouldn't say sometimes, we rarely encounter more of the cleanup type or beautification type CETOs, but that's definitely an option. Tree planting, beautification, ways to help out communities.
I know some folks have done like some cemetery cleanups. You have to be a little bit careful and work with the cemetery when you do it. You obviously just can't go in and start scrubbing stones, but I know people that's been their CETO, and it's you know, cash in, trash out, but cleaning up the community in one way or another. So that was a really cool challenge. So I like that one.
And you know, no matter what the theme of the CETO was, the stats get pooled. And if you found 20, you meet the requirements for this challenge. Yeah,
exactly.
And he said the collective trash cleaning efforts of local cashers in the area have had an immense impact on the area around a local skate park where we love hiding geocaches. And his picture is on this cache page. So that's pretty cool, too. He found the challenge and he is on the cache page.
You betcha. There they are. All right. So our second one.
Yeah. So this is sent in by Jedi Trash Panda, formerly 614 Buckeye. Oh. And this is GC564G7 3-in-3 International Challenge, where you need to find three cache types in three countries. So he said he just got done with a trip to the UK and Iceland. He was able to sign quite a few challenges in London, but Iceland is lacking in them, so wasn't able to sign any while in Iceland. But this is one of the ones he signed in London.
Nice. Yeah, if you go to Iceland, Iceland is the Earth Cache capital. So definitely go there for Earth Caches. Yeah, not much in the challenge.
We need to maybe geo-evangelize some challenge lovers in Iceland. Maybe that should be one of our show goals.
It could be. It could very well be. Our next one comes in from Acorn Mama, a regular contributor. And this is GC493HZ. And this is the Prestige Challenge. It's not a real high difficulty challenge. It's a 3-1, but you have to have found at least three of some of the most original or iconic caches. So like finding the original stash tribute plaque is the original one. Being a chimpanzee to have found any of the ape caches. A traveler to have found caches in 20 states or provinces of Canada. A thrill seeker, you found five caches. Or the pilgrim, which is making the pilgrimage to geocaching headquarters. So all you need is three of those.
So it's kind of a choose your own adventure. How did I qualify for this challenge?
And I got to find this one down in Ohio somewhere. So maybe Midwest Geobash, I can find this one.
Cool. All right.
Couple
the next one is from Cheeky Brit. This is GC9G70, 199 different counties challenge, and find caches in at least 199 different U.S. or Canadian counties. So he said he just slipped on by with just enough, and so congratulations.
Excellent. And this is a fun one for if you're new to challenge caching, because it's not a challenge. This one was sent in by Roadie Guy. It is GCAGXA2. And here you need to find one traditional cache and one micro cache in a 1/1 combination. So not real hard. Out in the open, easy terrain, but you have to find one of them or two of them, unless you find one at the same
time. Unless you find one.
You can find one that was both. It has a challenge rating of a 2.
There you go.
Before, it goes from 1 to 100. 100 is the most challenging challenge. This one's a 2. So should be easy for a lot.
So probably the limiting factor of it being a finding a micro might be what made it a 2 instead of a 1.
maybe.
Who knows?
I don't know. On our last one.
And this is sent in by J6 Family. This is GC7WA26 Millionaire Challenge. Become a geocaching millionaire. You will be awarded geocache according to the cache type value schedule on the cache page. So you can see here that traditionals are worth the lowest amount, and then different types of caches have increasing values. So if you have found enough combinations of types of caches to reach $1 million, you can claim this challenge.
And I read this before the show, and I'm up to like $6 billion. So.
Woohoo! We're rich. We're rich.
Yeah. I'm rich. I really wish I had a penny for every one of those caches I found.
Then oh, heck yeah! Right.
That would be easy. So we also want to thank Star Cacher and Tyrone Shoelaces for more submissions that we weren't able to get to tonight, but we greatly appreciate everyone that submits and watches and listens to the show. So we greatly appreciate your contributions. It's not a show without you guys, so mm-hmm. we very much appreciate that. And we have a winner, right? Yep.
Yes. So this month's winner is Acorn Mama. Congratulations. Hi. We'll be in touch about sending you a challenge talk path tag. And remember to enter for next month. Send in your email before next month's show with your challenge accomplishments. That's, we'll say, starts now. Get out there now and see what you can do in the next month and tell us about it.
Super. So our next show is, as always, the second Tuesday of the month. Will be on April the 9th. Hopefully we'll have some more treasures and secrets for you.
Mm-hmm. And show notes will be posted shortly after the show airs in the video description and linked in the podcast description. Wherever you find this show, you can find the show notes.
Now, one of the other things to remember about the show is it is starting to be mega season. Event season. Mm-hmm. And event if season. You attend an mm-hmm. event, and I'm going to do a good thing and a bad thing all in the same thing. The good thing is I'm going to recognize one of our listeners. The bad thing is it was during package pickup for the mega, and she introduced herself and her name went completely through one side to the other. So I don't remember her name,
but there she is. If you're watching, lady,
and if you look at her phone, she's captured it. So she knew that she had to say what she had to say when she met me. So if you meet Emily out on the trail and you say challenge accepted, she may or may not mm-hmm. have something for you. And if you meet me on the trail and you say challenge completed, you'll get something. If you ask me challenge accepted, I will absolutely confirm that. Yes, challenge is accepted. And I'll just stand there.
Because that's not your phrase.
So yes. We do have a limited supply of our marketing materials. My next event will be Geo Woodstock 20 in Arizona.
And I'll be hitting up local, I should say Oregon coin challenges. They're starting up again. Our coin challenge season starts up in May. So you'll be seeing me at probably all of those coin challenge events. And I'll make sure to tell you more about them as we get closer.
All right. Excellent. And we'll part with this month's quote from author Ray Davis. A challenge only becomes an obstacle when you bow to it. No giving in to a challenge. The challenge is accepted.
To barbed wire fences. Exactly. How fitting for that.
So thank you. Well done, thank you, everyone, for watching and listening. Remember, it's not about the numbers. It's about the challenge.
Challenge accepted.
Good night, everybody. Thank you, Nels, for being part of the show. Thank you for everybody in the chat room.
Good to see you. Good night.
We'll see you all again soon.